Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties, says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fat on a rough road, riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.
Shut up your mouth with Obama. Shut up your mouth with Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fierce.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild. Like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Anti-government, anti-science, and anti-Obama. They have a trifecta.
Program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of the cost. Remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. You want to be a part of the program today? Don't be shy. You know the number, 646-716-7978. Or you can join the captain's chat room. You know it as well as I do, as long as there's one stinking liberal on planet frickin' Earth. And there's far too goddamn many of them. It's a very, very, very busy news day. Well, today is no exception, as always. So we must lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway. We're officially underway and headed out to sea. Smell that salt air. It feels good. Bosun mate, shift colors. Okay, before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, which there's all kinds of scuttlebutts of the damn day today. It's a big stew of, it's scuttlebutt stew. That's what it is. And it's at every freaking angle. It's coming at you all over the place. So, I mean, where do you start? I don't know. I mean, flip a freaking coin. I don't know. Just start somewhere and see where the hell you end up. So that's what we're going to do. But before I even get going here, I did get a little bit of news. There was a couple hundred people, I guess, in Framingham, Massachusetts, on Easter yesterday. And hopefully everybody had a happy Easter. First of all, I want to apologize for not mentioning Friday, you know, Good Friday, and then Easter coming up. I am terrible with dates. I know Easter's around the corner. I know it's coming. Boom, boom, boom. I'm terrible with dates. I mean, if you didn't walk into the drugstore and they're blaring Christmas music, I'd have no friggin' idea we were anywhere close to being Christmas. I don't care how much snow's on the ground. I don't care how cold it is. I'm terrible with any of that stuff. So, anyway, I do apologize for that. Hopefully everybody had a good Friday and a very happy Easter. So, any event, they're this Sunday in New York City. I've got to find a way to get down there with a machine. I don't have a laptop, so I got to figure out a way to find one. If there is a will, there is a way, unless there's just not a way. So, but if you can make it this Sunday, May 4th, in New York City, 34th and 11th Avenues, across from the Jacob Javits Center. So if you find your find yourself anywhere near Manhattan, ask somebody you need to get to the Jacob Javits Center. You'll get on the right train. Don't worry about it. But yes, sir, this weekend, I started noticing more stuff, and it just hit me, and I'm thinking, these buzzwords now, you don't use certain words, you know, like racism. Not everything is racism. Stop with the racism. Stop with the isms. Extremism. What the hell? Does that, how the Tea Party, I'm sorry, but is not extreme. Obviously, anybody who calls the Tea Party extreme, extreme what? Following the Constitution? I don't get it. But the ones that I've been to, now I can't say what other Tea Parties other people have been to. But if you're going to a Tea Party where I guess you would consider it extreme, I think you're at the wrong Tea Party. Maybe it might be a Klan rally, perhaps, other than a Tea Party. Maybe you're getting things a little confused, or maybe you're just an idiot. God Almighty, enough with the words. Extremism, think about that. I mean, when you hear extremism, a lot of people dying, like the Mexican drug cartels, you know who that group is. Those are the people that are smuggling children across the border, and our Homeland Security is taking these illegal alien children to their illegal alien parents that are across the border, living here illegally. Oh, but Obama's Mr. Deporter-in-Chief. No. You set up certain roadblocks where you know you can get the numbers. They come in, you send them back, they come back in, you send them back again, and you count them. People aren't stupid, Mr. Obama. If you can make it in and you can find a way to, I guess, not get caught, I guess the time period is what, 24 hours, I guess? I don't know. But you're potential voters for the Democratic Party. So if you can make it past one of these checkpoints, look, I'm sorry that we got to be a little bit more secure at our border. It's not that we don't want people coming into the United States. I wish people would get that out of their friggin' heads. But we do have a little bit of a, security issue here, since there are a lot of people in the world that, they like to kill Americans. They don't like us. They've got people living here legally, which, if you think about it, every one of those hijackers were here legally. They got here legally. Let's put it that way. Some of them, their visas ran out, but, they were able to get here. And since your visa ran out, when you go to the airport, don't you think that they should have been able to pick up on that? Isn't that the whole idea for having your frickin' ID card? Why do you need an ID card to fly a plane if you're not going to check to find out, if there's any kind of outstanding, warrants against, terrorism and, things like that? So what the hell's the point of having an ID card? You can go to court if somebody asks you for an ID card if you want to vote. and violent. I'm sick and tired of hearing that stupid word, too. I mean, you want to talk about violence. You want to compare the Tea Party with the Occupy Wall Street. Oh, it's mostly peaceful. No. It is either peaceful or it is not. What the hell is mostly peaceful? I guess you must be mostly pregnant. Violent. Shut up. Let's see. Burning American flags and crapping on them. Crapping on cop cars. Turning over cop cars. Stabbings. Shootings. Rapes. Lots of rapes. As a matter of fact, there were so many rapes. Where was this Now group? There were so many rapes. They had to put up rape tents. Rape tents. I guess that's a rape-free zone. But outside the tent, I guess the women are, I guess it's free to rape them. But if they're in the tent, you can't. Anybody who's in charge of a city or a town or a place or whatever, where they've got to put up rape tents, again, I mean, I must refer to the Constitution because I know it's important. But people in our government don't seem to know that it's important. Look, everybody has to follow the Constitution. Provide for the common defense. Well, we have to provide for common defense, too, not only amongst ourselves, but our family, our possessions, our country. We have an obligation, too. So whoever was in charge of these towns, these mayors, why you would allow something like this, as people you need to set up rape tents, crapping on cop cars, stabbings, murders, why you would allow this, I mean, this isn't free speech. I mean, this is Crimeville that you allowed to go on in your city. And then finally there was enough political pressure where you had to put an end to it. Well, where is your just common sense? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, you don't need political pressure to do your goddamn job. You need common sense, but we don't have that. Why? Well, there's no money in it. Common sense doesn't vote. Why should I do it? Why should I have anything to do with common sense when it doesn't vote? Arsonists? What do we do? Who are we burning? Arsonists, what do you mean by that? Setting fire to what? Seems like you people are setting fire to the Constitution. Not only did you set fire to it, but you took out the ashes and you urinated on them. I mean, if you want to talk about extremism, violent arsonists, do we burn flags? No, they do. But we're the arsonists. I mean, you see what I'm saying here? Lawbreakers, Harry Reid and his little son. Lawbreakers. Breaking the law. I mean, for these people to say that. Again, anytime a Democrat is going to come out and blame the right, either Republicans in the House or Republicans in the Senate or the Republican Party or Rush Limbaugh or the Koch brothers. Any time to blame anybody on the right. When they're blaming the right for anything, especially before any story has gotten out, that means they are guilty of it and they want you to get the blame for it before the story comes out. So it looks like that the right is trying to blame
you know, blame Harry Reid when all he did was just give out a, you know, inside information that he got from one of his sources. I wonder if that same source that Harry Reid got that somehow knew what Mitt Romney paid in his taxes, how he knew that. Was he talking to the IRS? I'm sure he probably was. I'm sure Mitt Romney's tax returns probably got out to a number of certain individuals. I still think that the real culprit in the IRS scandal, I mean, Lois Lerner could save herself if she really wants immunity. She needs to pin the real culprits, and the real culprits are the president and the attorney general. And I'm going to go ahead and be so much bold just to say that right now. Yes, I'm going to accuse them. Look, you cannot tell me they didn't know this was going on. And when they did find out, they did absolutely nothing but try to cover it up. I mean, Nixon tried covering up a couple of guys that he had nothing to do with that broke into some hotel room, stole a couple pieces of paper. Democrats are constantly stealing stuff. You ever hear of computers? Look, stealing campaign information, I mean, it's like catching the signs in baseball. You can catch the signs as long as you don't get caught catching the signs. So when you get caught, that's when you're cheating. But it's part of the game. We all know everybody steals all campaign information. But because he tried to cover it up, I know there was a little bit more to it than just that. But, I mean, compared to what they tried to impeach Nixon on, with what this president has done and his entire administration, not just him. I mean, he's got everybody working for him. He's got all these government agencies working for him. He's got an attorney general. He's got generals. He's got everybody in place working for him. What they did with Fast and Furious, the IRS, Benghazi, the stimulus package, I'm sorry, but that was criminal. They took almost $1 trillion and gave it to their friends. Unions. Look, if you want to join a union and you like the union, you like what they do for you, fine. Nobody, so join them. Nobody says word one. Why? For what? But if you don't want to join it, you shouldn't have to be forced to join it. And if you don't, find yourself, you know, beaten to a bloody frickin' pulp. Broken bones, all kinds of stuff. Because you didn't join some cockamamie club. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't want to be a musketeer. No, you must wear this hat. Boom, 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 boom. Ah. Look, if you don't want to join it, don't join. If your union is really that good, people will join it. Give them a reason to join. You don't need the intimidation. You don't need the threats. You don't need this and you don't need that. What you need is a reason for them to join. But you'll go find a way to create a reason. Your reason is, well, if you don't join, well, you get your bones broken. Then you can't work. I have no idea if we're back on or not. It looks like we are. What the hell's going on here? I don't know. I'm sick and tired of this crap. I don't know if it's Skype or Blog Talk Radio. It's somebody. But whoever is not doing what they should be doing, fixing whatever they need to fix, buy a new part, like GM didn't buy a part for what? What was it, 50 cents or some damn thing? 49 cents? 27-cent part? I don't know, something. Whatever the price was, whatever it was. Well, if there is evidence that they could have fixed it for 27 cents or whatever the stupid price was, and it was costing people's lives, there should be some liability there. I think most people can agree with that. Look, you know, you got a part that, you know, for 27 cents or a buck or 10 bucks or $1,000. Siri's going to give out and people are going to swerve head on into a frickin' truck. I think getting the damn part to them is worth it. Look, automobile companies do recalls all the time. It's not that big of a deal. You get the news out there. You send them a frickin' letter. They bring the car into the body shop or the dealership. They put this stupid little part in there, and bada boom, bada bing, you drive home and you're done. You won't swerve off automatically into a Mack truck. And I don't know what the hell these barking dogs are all about this morning. Good God Almighty. Shut up. I don't know if you can hear that. What the hell's going on here with this show today? Jesus, God Almighty. But anyway, the two words that I am sick and tired of having to listen to, along with this dog barking that won't shut up. Quiet! Domestic terrorist and jihadist. A domestic terrorist, Bernadine Dorn, and her little boyfriend there, the professor. What the hell was his name now? I can't remember his name. It doesn't matter. I always forget people's names. I know who he is. I'm just horrible with names. It's just the way it is. I can't do anything about it. Bill Ayers. That's who it is. That is a domestic terrorist. Timothy McVeigh was a domestic terrorist. I wish this dog would shut the hell up. Hey, shut up! God damn it, I can't stand animals that just nonstop bark and yelp and Jesus Christ Almighty. Like humans. A lot of humans do that same thing. They just don't shut the hell up. It's not even my dog. Oh, God, now it's got to come up the steps. Unfrickin' believable. I can't do a frickin' show like this. Skype keeps cutting me out. I don't know if I'm even on the air or not. Dog's barking. Trying to talk. Jesus, God Almighty. But domestic terrorist. You don't call somebody a domestic terrorist because they disagree with you politically. That is not something that you use in jihad. Jihad is not a word that you use. Well, you know what? I'm going to have to take a break here because I'm about ready to choke this goddamn dog. So we got to play some music. Maybe we might have a freaking show sometime today. I mean, Jesus Christ Almighty. I don't know if it's going to cut me out or not. Dogs barking me, what the hell? Look, I don't care what the hell's going on. All the forces trying to against me, I don't really give a damn. But I'm going to put up a show. I'm going to give what the hell I need to get out. Let's listen to this song here. It's my buddy Hank Jr. I can see if I can shut this freaking dog up. And maybe we can actually conduct a freaking show today, so we'll be back.
Go find a network won't to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country. Well, it used to be easy, get a place, build a house. Now the EPA said no, that's the home of the blue mouse. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me.
taxes from showing them things.
Why don't you mind your own business?
That's good advice.
Mind your own business.
Dad got it right.
But if you mind your business, then you won't be minding mine.
Every sign says for sale, for lease, price reduced, make an offer, please don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country. There's no way today we could build Boulder Dam. There'd be way too many government permit scams. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for the good news? We're gonna take back this country. Hey, Barack, pack your bags, head to Chicago. Take your teleprompter with you so you'll know where to go.
So move it all over. Move it all over. Move it all.
That's what I'm talking about too, Hank. All right. I think maybe I shut the dog up. It's my landlord's dog. He's down there. I took him out before the show started. Wigs out for 20 minutes and then comes back in. You think he's done whatever he needs to do. I'm up here trying to do a show. Goddamn Skype keeps cutting me off. Dog's barking and yelping and throwing absolutely, I don't know. It's a spaz. It's a spaz dog. So, nothing I can do about it. It's one of those things, you do a live show, you never know what the hell's going to happen. But now it sounds like the dog is shutting up. The sun's shining. Oh, Jesus, God, I just started talking about that stupid dog, and there it goes again. This is absolutely freaking ridiculous today. Jesus, God almighty. But domestic terrorists and jihadists. Domestic terrorists and jihadists are names that you do not use. You don't call somebody because they disagree with you politically. A domestic terrorist, that is for people that blow things up. Oh, this frickin' dog. Jesus Christ almighty. Hold on. Oh, my God. I swear to Christ, man. It's got to be a Democratic plot. They're trying to stop me from doing this show. I'm teasing, by the way. That's a joke. But it's got to be something. I don't give a damn. I'm stubborn like that. I got nothing but pure Aryan blood running through these veins. Blonde hair, blue-eyed kraut. Which means I am just as or more stubborn than the Irish. Dogs barking, Skype cutting out or not. Not going to stop me. I'm going to do my goddamn show. I might have to kill that dog, though. Well, I like dogs. I can't kill them. But God almighty. But domestic terrorists and jihadists. Jihadists? Oh, they're committing jihad against the American people. These are your leaders, your democratic leaders. You don't use words like jihad. Jihad, people drive airplanes into buildings. They kill lots of people, like at embassies. Like what they did in Benghazi. Like what they did on 9/11, like they've done to how many embassies? How many people have these people killed And you're going to call your political foe? You're going to use the word jihad? Do you know what the word jihad means? Have you done your homework? Do you understand what that word means? No, you don't. You don't use words like that. And terrorists, period. You don't call people terrorists unless they are. But disagreeing with Obamacare does not make you a domestic terrorist against women and the American people. How about you people committing domestic terrorism against the Constitution? Against the American way of life? How about that? Oh, wow. We believe in peace and love. That's why we want to take away your guns. Only we can have them. But you don't use words. I mean, it's bad enough to call somebody extremist because they believe in the Constitution and they follow it and they read it and understand it. That's not extremism. Burning the flag, crapping on it, raping, stabbing, shooting, fighting. All in the name of get rid of Wall Street. As they're carrying, you know, iPhones, laptops, and all the clothes that they buy, latest sneakers, and Birkenstocks. But it's bad enough calling people extreme and violent. They're the ones committing the violence. Arsonists, you don't do that. Lawbreakers. Mr. Reed, you want to sit here and talk about breaking the law? Calling other people lawbreakers? What do you want, crack? Lawbreakers. Domestic terrorists? Mr. Reed, do you know what that word means? Do you know what terrorism means? And jihad, you don't use that against people that are, well, Americans that disagree with you politically. You don't call people names like that. You just don't do it. Now, Nazi, the Nazism, but to call somebody an actual Nazi, But Nazism, yeah, we know what Nazism is. It's tyranny. Using your government agencies to intimidate and harass the citizens. That is Nazism. But waving a flag and standing up to illegal searches and seizures does not make you a domestic terrorist. Which, we've got something on here today. I was going to get into something else, but let's get into this now since we're here. What the hell is it? Oh, good God. Did you hear about the Supreme Court justice, that Scalia? Do we even have a Supreme Court? Do we have anybody in the Supreme Court? Do we have somebody there? Is there any good guys on the Supreme Court anymore? I know we got Clarence Thomas, but, you know, he's not allowed to speak. Oh, let's see, the Keystone Pipeline, and we got that to cover today. God almighty. And now Harry Reid, he talks about lawbreakers. Well, we'll get into that if I can ever get there. Here it is, this ranch. This is a congressman. I think this is Steve Stockman, which is the same Stockman, I do believe, that is trying to initiate that law to get Justina Pelletier home, which I still can't believe with, I mean, just the amount of press that you got on Facebook should have been enough. there's still very little press on this, but there's enough people that do know. I mean, that letter should be, why is the FBI not investigating to find out if that letter indeed is the real deal? What is it? Is it real or is it not real? Is it a hoax? Is she being abused? Well, we don't want to get involved. Well, why? Well, because then we got all this paperwork and, you know, there's an election coming up, you know, and then there's this and that. It's complicated. A lot of people are involved, and, you know, I don't want to be a rat, and, you know, Kim Kardashian's on tonight. She's, you know, she's got a new swimsuit, so I still can't figure out with all of the, I know it's not that much attention, but it's enough attention that I'm sure somebody in the FBI, somebody somewhere, involved in some kind of law enforcement agency of any kind, why nobody is standing up to the plate and saying, okay, let's take a closer look at this. If we've got child abuse, it doesn't matter. I don't care how many politicians are involved. What the hell difference does that make? Because there's a politician involved, we can't do anything? We've got a 15-year-old girl that came into this when she was 14. Never should have came in the first place. This is a 15-year-old girl. Just because there's a judge or a politician involved in it doesn't mean that you don't have the right to investigate it. This is child abuse. This isn't about a cow or a turtle or a wind farm. This is real human being. Real. Flesh and blood. She's got guts and brains and everything. But immediately after what many considered a victory against a tyrannical federal agency, Bureau of Land Management. That's a desk job. You might want to come out and take a survey and take a look at the land, find out if, you know, you still got a couple of turtles. But other than that, you need law enforcement. Well, then you call in the law enforcement. And we're going to get to that if I can ever shut up. I'll shut up. Oh, no. Why did I say that? It's going to start again. Oh, God. But immediately after what many considered a victory against a tyrannical federal agency, a number of leftist voices, most notably your friend and mine, Senator Harry Lawbreaker Reed, indicated the action against this family will continue. Yeah, because I'm powerful and I'm tough. They're breaking the law.
They're breaking the law. And I'm just following the law. I'm a senator. I don't break the law. Yeah, I make them, yeah. But he's breaking the law, and my son wants a wind farm, and, you know, I got money invested in it, and, you know, that's all we want to do, and plus the cows are eating the turtles, and it's horrible, and, you know, we believe in peace and love, and, you know, it's just the way it is, and they're breaking the law.
You're breaking the law, Mr. Reed. You're a greedy son of a bitch. That's what you are. In response, Texas Republican Representative, our friend Steve Stockman, sent a letter to Barack Obama, Department of the Interior Secretary Sally Jewell. Oh, I bet she is a jewel too, isn't she? Yeah. And BLM Director Neil Korns, laying out his position that any such agent or any such action by the agency would violate U.S. Constitution. Uh-oh. Because of this standoff, Mr. Stockman wrote, I have looked into BLM's authority to conduct such paramilitary raids against American citizens, and it appears that the Bureau of Land Management is acting in a lawless manner in Nevada. They're acting in a lawless manner wherever they're at. It doesn't matter, Nevada or not. The government agencies are not there to... The EPA is there, not there to arrest you and taser you, send their dogs on you, shoot you from a helicopter. That's not their job. They're there to test the damn water, make recommendations. Oh, we have people that come in and they get violent with us. What, telling you that you're full of it? Is you're wrong? That you're an idiot? No, that's called telling the truth. He cited the limited powers granted to the federal government, noting that the Bureau has no right to assume preemptory police powers. That role is reserved to the states, which is what I have been bitching about since this began. And since I started this program on the EPA. If you need law enforcement, you call law enforcement. You get a test tube and a clipboard. You don't get a gun. Now go back to your office. Go make some coffee first. And shut up. And explained, many federal laws require the federal government to seek assistance from local law enforcement whenever the use of force may become necessary. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, Mr. Stockman. You know it. I know it. All intelligent, free Americans know it. But see, it doesn't benefit the Democratic Party. When are you people going to learn? Look, if it benefits the Democratic Party, it's good. If it doesn't benefit the Democratic Party, well, then we have to change the law. Well, how do you do that? Well, we just interpret it differently. That's all you got to do. And if not, you just blame it on racism, and who wants to argue against racism? Well, if you go against us, that makes you racist. So, well, you know, I mean, we can't have that. Well, I don't want anybody to think that I'm a racist, so I better go along with you, Mr. Reed. I'm afraid of you. You scare me. The letter included a section of the U.S. Code, 43 U.S.C. section 1733, subsection C. Jesus God Almighty. Subsection. What the hell is a subsection? Subcommittees. When, this is in quotation, so this must be, this is U.S. Code 43 U.S.C. section 1733 subsection C states, in quotations, when the secretary determines that assistance is necessary in enforcing federal laws and regulations relating to the public lands or their resources, he shall offer a contract to appropriate local officials having law enforcement authority within their respective jurisdictions. So you get the localist cops possible. With the view of achieving maximum feasible reliance upon law enforcement officials in enforcing such laws and regulations. Did that happen? No. So what happens if you get a letter and it's got postage unpaid, and if you don't have enough money to pay the postage that's due for some letter that you don't even know is from, do they send out the post office now? They've got their little SWAT team that comes out. What if your dog is in a pissy mood? They send in the SWAT team and shoot your dog. Government agencies do not, there's no reason for them to have law enforcement abilities, period. And if they say they need them, well, then maybe they need to figure out what the hell their job is and stop creating a reason to need them. Like, read the Constitution. Learn why are you there? You're not there to harass citizens so your little political friends can give you a little bonus. And maybe when you decide to run for office, and they might return the favor and throw you some votes. You must follow the law like everybody. You shouldn't be able to use the law against somebody else, and especially against somebody else that is benefiting you. So if you're benefiting monetarily or however other way, and somebody else is getting screwed, that's a twofer. Case of the Bundy Ranch, he continued, the relevant local law enforcement officials appear to be the sheriff of Clark County, Nevada, Mr. Douglas C. Gillespie. But Mr. Gillespie, his hands are tied. He's like that governor in Massachusetts. Hands are tied. Nope. Can't do nothing. Not a damn thing. I just got to sit in my office, drink my coffee, eat my donuts, watch the Kim Kardashian reruns. I can't do a damn thing. Out of my hands. BLM's got it. It's a federal matter. Can't touch it. Well, I'm off to lunch. This is what makes me sick. No one wants to get involved because they might have to actually do something. Can't save a 15-year-old girl from being abused. Stuck in a room with no medical attention, left to die. Nobody can do anything. Cows eat some grass, and well, we got to go to war. But a 15-year-old girl, it's just not newsworthy. People aren't interested. There's no drama. Oh, what, a 15-year-old girl is physically abused, mentally abused, psychologically abused, emotionally abused, left in a room to die with no medical attention? That's not newsworthy. That's not drama. Oh, but I bet if it was happening to your daughter. Whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. It's always fine to happen to somebody else until it happens to you. And then it's a problem. Well, it's a problem because you did nothing when it happened to your neighbor. When you had an opportunity to fight it, like we had an opportunity to fight Obamacare back in October. But we couldn't wait to surrender. This is what happens when you surrender, you lose. When you surrender, you don't just surrender, game over. You lose. And you keep losing for a long time. More and more and more. I don't surrender at nothing. Indeed, Mr. Stockman wrote, at the exact type of crisis that the federal government has provoked, which they did, at the Bundy Ranch is the very type of incident that Congress knew could be avoided by relying on local enforcement officials.
Mm.
What I'd like to know is, in the 90s when this all started, they were using the turtle as an excuse. I wonder who had their hands involved into it in the 90s. Obviously, it wasn't the Clintons, because I know that if it were the Clintons, then it would have been, you know, it would have been done. Something would have happened at the ranch, you know, just an unfortunate accident. I don't know what happened. But I wonder how long Harry Reid and his son have been trying to... I wonder if that's when, if they started it back then, they wanted that land. And they're trying to use this as grazing fees. Never had them before, but now all of a sudden we want grazing fees. So I guess I can understand, out of the blue, all of a sudden the federal government says we want a bunch of grazing fees. What, are you crazy? Now, because we've got a prominent politician's son wants to build a wind farm, and I'm sure the old man, Harry Reid, I'm sure he's involved in it somehow, some way. Well, they want to make money. And that's what they're doing. They're making money using taxpayer dollars, federal land, this, that, everything else. They're not using very much of their own money. They're using yours. You should not be allowed to benefit from taxpayer money. Period. But anyway, let's get back up to where the hell we started from. Good God Almighty, I don't know. But enough with the buzzwords, no more extremism. Don't use that unless somebody is really violent. Somebody's really extreme. Somebody's really a narcissist, arsonist. I mean, you see somebody burning down your coffee shop. You see somebody in the neighborhood that keeps burning all the houses down. Okay, that's an arsonist. Disagreeing with a liberal because their policies don't work and are dangerous, and we've seen them. How many times have we seen their policies fail? Well, every one. So when we disagree with a liberal, it's for a valid reason. It's not because we're violent and racist. We're not breaking the law to disagree with the government. Again, let me refer you to the preamble. Before we even get to the body, the Bill of Rights, and all the other amendments, let's just focus on the preamble. Lawbreakers, domestic terrorists, jihadists. Those are not words that you call people. Racist, you don't do that. Unless they actually are. Now, this Obamacare. Now they're up to 8 million. Boy, they're just, they just can't find enough dead people to sign up. I mean, they can't seem to stop. There's all these dead people. I guess maybe if dead people sign up, they're going to come back to life. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why so many dead people are signing up. But this Chris Wallace, which I do, again, the Sunday Morning Puke shows, they were on, I was cooking some chicken. I cooked some great chicken. Took some honey, poured a little Jack Daniels whiskey in it. Just a couple little bitty, itty bitty, teeny tiny little drops of liquid smoke, mixed all that up. It was nice and thick, glaze it over the chicken. Oh, man, had a little seasoned salt and some pepper. It came out delicious. So I really wasn't paying attention. And it was frozen, so it was going to be in the oven for a while. But I did catch a little bit that he was with They had their panel. Bunch of stupid panels. I'm so sick and tired of panels. They irritate me. Wallace irritates me. But he's talking to Evan Bay, who irritates me to absolutely no end. He's not even, why is he even a person worthy of giving his stupid opinion anyway? I don't think he's in Congress anymore. He's not a senator anymore. Why keep bringing him on? He just says nothing but just blah, 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 blah anyway. He's another one of those soft talkers. Oh, we're just so peaceful and loving. Oh, do, do. And Republicans, they hate. Oh, do, do. And anything that comes out of his mouth is BS anyway. Why bring him on? I don't know. You can't find anybody else that will come on the show? I wouldn't want to come on his show. That's probably why it's not that, you know, that rated that high. Even Meet the Press. David Gregory irritates me. None of these shows. You can't get any decent, you can't get the news anymore. From anything. Doesn't matter where you come from. I mean, you can like the guy who gives you the news, like the gal, whatever, but that's not why I watch the stupid news. I don't care who the hell's giving me the goddamn news. I only care what the news is. I don't get a monkey up there and give it to me for all I give a damn. Okay, fine. You want to, you know, show a nice looking woman up there. It's, you know, it's eye candy. Okay, I'm not going to argue. But I want content first. Then you can put whoever the hell you want to up there. I don't care. But Chris Wallace is talking to Evan Bay. And now that the website is working and 8 million people have signed up, will Obamacare, this is what caught my attention yesterday as I'm in the kitchen doing all my prep work. Will Obamacare be less of a burden for Democrats than it appeared as it was going to be in the depths of the mess with the website last fall?
Less of a burden than it appeared 6 months ago, Chris. At that point, there was a real fear of a complete implosion, of things just being an unmitigated disaster. I think speaking politically, which is your question, about the best Democrats can hope for this fall is to fight this to basically a draw. The problem with that is that in the midterm election, it's all about turnout. And when you look at the polls, the Republican base is just a lot more excited against this law than the Democratic base is for it. So you got a turnout problem.
Less of a burden? Less of a burden for Democrats than it appeared it was going to be, Mr. Wallace? This is the question that you're asking him. This is your focus. This is what you're thinking. The topic of your discussion is about Obamacare. And your question is, will this be less of a burden for Democrats than it appeared it was going to be in the depths of the mess of the website last fall? Less of a burden for Democrats. How about the burden on the American people, Mr. Wallace? Why does that never, again, why does that never come out? Why is it always a focus on how this is going to look for the Democrats, how this is going to look for the Republicans, how this is going to look for the president? Who gives a damn? What the hell difference does that make with how the hell they're going to look? I'm looking at my neighbor who lost his job, doesn't have health care, can't afford Obamacare, kids are hungry, going to school with dirty clothes, mama can't buy soap, can't wash, you know, the clothes, the water's been cut off. Are you worried about how the Democrats are going to look? Jesus God, you talk about a burden. I mean, people are doing anything and everything they can to put anything on the table. That's a burden, let me tell you. When there's nothing there, and you've got to provide, how? Well, how about the burden on the economy that this Obamacare has caused? How many people have lost their job because of this? This so-called health care? How about the American way of life? Well, you can't celebrate, you know, Independence Day anymore. Well, it's extremist. People who wave flags and shoot off fireworks, those are extremists, and you got to stay away from them. They're waving the flag. That means they're anti-government, and they want to kill liberals because that's all they do is kill, because they all carry guns and they all hate. So you stay away from them. How about the burden it's been putting on our way of life, our freedom, our Constitution, our laws? Yes, this Obamacare is putting a huge burden on the economy. And the turnout, it's all about turnout. Turnout, turnout, turnout. Well, it's how many votes you can steal. It's how many illegal aliens turn out. How many dead people turn out. And how many times they turn out. That's what accounts to a liberal. That's the only way they can win. Now, why he said that, maybe he's giving an indication that, you know, the Democrats are losing. They know they're losing. And they're going to blame it. Well, it's the Republicans. The Koch brothers, yep, it was those ads, those ads that were those untruthful ads. They were liars. Everybody loves Obamacare. Everybody I talk to, oh yeah. Everybody I talk to, they just love Obamacare. They can't wait to sign up. They can't wait to get hurt and go to the doctor and know full well that Obamacare is going to take care of them. Of course, they might have to drive a couple hundred miles to see a doctor. And if he's sober enough and you can understand any part of his broken English, well, maybe he might be able to do something for you. Oh, look at that. You've got this huge $10,000 deductible. Yeah, will that be cash or check? Which leads us this absolutely sickening display. I mean, they have people that just, I mean, there is no pride in themselves at all. Look, I don't trust people that don't have any pride. You've got to have pride in yourself. If you want other people to be proud of you, you've got to have some. You have to have some kind of pride of yourself. I mean, you got to be proud of yourself a little bit. I mean, my God. I mean, you don't have to be too proud. Obviously, too much of anything is bad. But I mean, you don't say things like. I mean, you just don't say the things that they say with that. You don't come out there and say that you talked to one of your little invisible friends, and Republicans say they just don't care about kids. They just don't care. No, just they're indifferent. Yep. Just hate little girls. Hate women. Hate children. Hate them. Just indifferent. Standing on the Senate floor. Oh, those were all lies. They all lied. Everybody loves Obamacare. Mitt Romney didn't pay his taxes. Well, how would he know? How would this particular source know? And if this particular source did tell him, why would this particular source tell him? Which means that there's a crime somewhere. And if he lied on the Senate floor, I mean, aren't there rules against things like that? Well, if you're a Republican, yeah, then you can get impeached. But if you're a Democrat, you did it for the right reasons, because you care. So we'll let you slide. But this whole transparency that they still love to tout. Now, when you can come out here and talk about that it's all Republicans' fault for this and all that, when you know damn good and well that it's not, and talk about how transparent you are. You've got your attorney general, Mr. President, who's in contempt for whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. We know what it should mean. He should be in jail like everybody else. So the attorney general's in contempt for not providing evidence. Lois Lerner refuses to give out any evidence. She wants immunity. We just still don't know what happened in Benghazi, who gave the stand-down orders, where the president was, why the ambassador was even in Libya to begin damn with. Was this over 400 surface-to-air missiles? Well, we don't know. We don't know anything of what happened with Fast and Furious other than the attorney general knew about it and was part of it. We're not getting any information from the IRS, from anybody. We're not getting any information from anybody on anything. But they're the most transparent. How could you be the most transparent? And for Jay Carney to go out here, here was my point of how these people can go out and say the things that they say. People on the right are jihadists. They're domestic terrorists. For following the Constitution makes you a domestic terrorist, lawbreaker, arsonist, and violent extremists. And claim to be transparent. I mean, we know that these people are lying. Every time they open up their mouth, they're saying something that isn't true. Why do we continue to allow it? I don't know. What fear do you have? Why are you so afraid to vote somebody out? Do you go into a voting booth with a mobster that's got a gun to your head? Or do you go in there by yourself? Are you telling me you're afraid to vote somebody out because you're going to get stabbed or shot? Well, how do they know who you voted for? You can just tell them you voted for them. They're not going to know. You can vote correctly. It's okay. You have my permission to vote correctly. But transparent, Mr. Carney, you have never been transparent. Many members of Obama's administration, including the president himself, have made numerous attempts at lying. Hillary Clinton, we're going to prosecute that filmmaker. Susan Rice, she knew damn good and well this had nothing to do with a video. And she went out there and lied. After getting caught lying for the administration, her reward is to get a promotion. Imagine that, if you could lie. People died, and all you had to do was continue the same lie, and you get a promotion, and make more money. That'd be a hell of a gig, wouldn't it? This administration still has refused to call that domestic terrorists, the jihad. The real jihadist, I'm not going to say his name, I refuse to repeat these names. One, I can't pronounce them, but two, I don't believe any of these terrorists should have their names announced, period. None of them. Don't even show his face. He shouldn't have that dignity of letting people know who he is. He shouldn't even have that right. But they have refused to call that massacre at Fort Hood a terrorist attack when he's screaming Allahu Akbar and blowing people away. That's a jihadist, Mr. Reed. The rest of you frickin' Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, That's a jihadist. That's an extremist. You understand? That's a lawbreaker. That's violent. So let's get into this. Is Jay Carney being interviewed by Major Garrett, which I still don't know what the hell the deal is with that dude. Every once in a while I like him, and then other times I just wonder what, you know, is he a sellout? I don't know. I think they're all sellouts. But Jay Carney still claims that the Obama, after all of this stuff, you know all, you know, every single one of the violations that this president has done. You don't need me to list them because I talk about them all the time. You hear them all the time. You live them all the time. You know them. Nobody needs to tell you. You know them. And so this is the press secretary being interviewed by Major Garrett and has the audacity to say this.
I think there is no question. I've covered two, the previous two administrations, and know a thing or two about ones before that. There's never been a more transparent administration. That doesn't mean that we provide more information about, for example, the WAVES records, something that no administration has ever
done. Explain
what
the WAVES records
are. The WAVES records are the records collected by the Secret Service of individuals who are cleared in for meetings in the White House. And those have never been released before. No administration has ever released them. And I think it's fair to say that the release of that information has made this White House far more transparent than any other White House. That doesn't mean it's perfectly transparent. And it also, like, that creates headaches for us, right? I mean, and ridiculous stories on Fox News.
Oh, it's mostly peaceful. Is that what you meant, Mr. Carney? Well, it's not perfectly transparent. See, that's how he gets away with it. Well, it's not perfectly transparent. It's not anything transparent. This administration, I can't think of anything this administration has ever said that has been true. Nothing. Nothing this man said other than, yeah, we are just a few days away from fundamentally transforming this country. That was true. Now we need to fundamentally transform it back to where it belongs. But for you to come out there, how do you sleep with yourself, Mr. Carney? I mean, these people, they think it's a game. It's fun to them. These are people's lives, Mr. Carney. For you to come out here and say that, say things like, "Well, we're still the most transparent." And what evidence do you have, Mr. Carney, that would lead anyone to believe that this administration is even a little bit transparent? I don't know how these people can sleep with themselves at night. I really don't. How do you go out and lie like that? Lie about talking to invisible friends and your five-year-old grandchildren that wants to bomb Syria. Nancy Pelosi, you remember that. They were trying to drum up support in Congress so the president can bomb Syria. So his jihad friends, I guess, can take over. So she's on board. Of course, anything the president does, she's on board. He's obviously got pictures of her doing something. He's got some dirt on her because she just can't stop sucking up to him. It's disgusting. It's gross. You got to stop, Nance. All right? You understand? It's disgusting. How these people can come out there, claim they talk to their grandchildren, wants to bomb Syria to save other children from being gassed. A five-year-old kid is not worried about kids getting gassed and we should bomb them. Five-year-old kid's worried about his freaking Lego collection. Don't know how these people can lie the way that they lie and look square in the camera, lie, knowing full well they're lying. Everybody watching them knows that they're lying. And why we allow this to happen, this is our fault. We've got to put an end to this. We've got to demand more. If we're going to demand more from our leaders, we have to demand more from ourselves. we need to demand a little bit more for ourselves, or from ourselves, for ourselves, actually, from ourselves, for ourselves. All right, let's get in here. The Supreme Court Justice Scalia. I mean, I just, this whole Supreme Court, I mean, I don't understand. Somebody's got, I just. But he says it's foolish to have the court decide if the NSA wiretapping is unconstitutional. Mr. Scalia, I think it's time for you to retire, but we need to get a Republican in there. A Republican president first. But the point is, it would be foolish to have the court, the Supreme Court, decide if the NSA wiretapping is unconstitutional. Now think about that for a second. Isn't that the job of the Supreme Court to determine if something is constitutional or not? When I went to school, which was a few years ago, I won't mention how many, we learned that the Supreme Court was there to determine if something was constitutional or not. But now, Scalia, he thinks that's foolish to have the court determine if something is constitutional or not. Well, what is it you want to do in your job? You do look, rather hefty. You look like a donut eater. Maybe you and my producer should get together. You can sit there and eat boxes of donuts together. Have a gay old time. What do you think your job is? Your job is to determine whether something is constitutional or not. So he's in an interview, the National Press Club, which just makes me sick. National Press Club, shut up. In Washington, D.C., Mr. Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which, this woman, could you please stop, just don't talk? Please. When this woman talks, it's babbling. It's garbage. It's nonsense. There's nothing there. It's empty. It's meritless. There's not even air. It's an empty vacuum. It's a black hole. We need to do a much better job of picking justices. Picking people that understand the Constitution, one. But they were there to talk about their views of the First Amendment, which there is no view to it. It is what it is. You can't have an opinion. How do you have an opinion on a fact? Let me read it. Let me see if there's any interpretation for a view. You don't have a view. There's nothing to view. It is what it is, what it is, what it is. You cannot have an opinion on fact. Let me read it. Congress, not the president, remember, not the president, but Congress, shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Okay, you can't have an opinion on that. It's pretty simple. Congress can't pass a law that says you have to believe or not believe in this particular religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Okay, that's pretty simple. Somebody wants to, pray, they got a right to pray. They want to do whatever they got to do. I don't know, kill a live chicken, whatever they got to do, they got to do. Pretty simple. There's no interpretation there. Or abridging the freedom of speech. You can't abridge it. Which means it shall not be infringed. Or of the press. Can't do it of the press either. Speech or the press. Or of the right of the people peacefully to assemble. Doesn't say anything about getting a permit. and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Okay, you can't. How do you have a view on that? What's there to view? It's pretty simple. You can't abridge somebody's freedom of speech or of the press or of their right to peacefully assemble, which means by having a permit, you are abridging somebody's right to peacefully assemble. By you determining what is free speech and what is not, you are abridging somebody's free speech. So you, by you even having a view, having an opinion on something that has no opinion to, other than it is what it is, what it is, what it is. The only opinion you can have is whether you like it or not. But there's nothing else to go on. It's black and white. You can't abridge it. So Scalia gets this question on whether the NSA wiretapping cloud could be conceivably be in violation of the Constitution. Mr. Scalia says, no, because it's not absolute. This is another thing that I'm tired of hearing. It's not absolute. What does that mean? That means that you can, when you have somebody says, well, it's not absolute, which means it's up to me to determine what is and is not your free speech. That's what that means. It is absolute. It says it right here. Let me read it. Congress shall make no law. Means they can't make any law. They can't make any law that's going to respecting an establishment of religion like they do in Saudi Arabia. There's only one religion. And you must believe in it. So Congress can't make any law or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, which means you can't stop somebody from praying. Or abridging the freedom of speech. You can't abridge it. Well, by you saying that it's not absolute, you just abridged their freedom. And you're a Supreme Court justice. He goes on to say, I mean, your person is protected by the Fourth Amendment. But as I pointed out, when you board a plane, someone can pass his hands all over your body. That's a terrible intrusion. Well, no, they shouldn't be doing that unless they have probable cause. See, liberals don't want to, they don't like that part. The fact that they think they're doing the right thing is their probable cause. They don't need any real probable cause. You're reading material that those on the right tend to read. So we've got to keep an eye on you. We've got to check you out. You might have guns. You might even have a flag. Jesus Christ, Mr. Scalia, have you ever read the Constitution? What the TSA is doing is intrusion. It does violate your Fourth Amendment. The reason why it violates it is because there is no probable cause. Meaning if you don't have a reason, they're not doing anything. They're not showing any kind of signs that they're about to commit any crime. They're not giving off any telltale signs other than reading material. That's not probable cause. We must be secure in our persons, in our effects. In our houses. We have to be secure. Look, these amendments are in here for a reason. They are not to be violated, any of them. You violate one, you violate them all. None of them work without the other one. You can't have one without any of them. You get one, you got to get them all. Otherwise, there's no point. The whole thing collapses. Like what's happening with Obamacare. But, he continues, given the danger that it's guarding against, it's not an unreasonable intrusion. Yes, it is. You still need probable cause. You don't be groping and rubbing your hands all over babies and children and old ladies in wheelchairs and making people empty their pee bags and pee all over themselves because you're just doing your job. No, you're not doing your job. Where's your probable cause? You don't have any. It's grandma flying back home. She was visiting the grandkids. Now she's got to go back to the nursing home. Leave the old bat alone, for Christ's sake. Help her into the plane. Meanwhile, a woman walks in with a burqa all dressed up. You can't see her face. Well, it's against our religion. Oh, okay, I can't touch you. Okay, come on in. Unreasonable. See, again, you can't write common sense into the law. You just have to have it. And it can be the same thing with acquiring this data that is required as effects. Yeah, if you want to, you can call it effects. Okay. Which means you can't touch it unless you have probable cause. What they're doing is they're mass collecting all the information. So if they find out that you voted Republican and you went to a Tea Party and they don't like you, well, they can use that information against you. Find out who you called, find out who you did this, find out what you did there, find out who your other friends are. So they can take not only you, but your family and all your other friends, and they can put them on this little hate list, little target list. And that's what they do. There's no reason to mass collect that much data unless you are going to use it for reasons other than what you intended to use them for. But what do we know? We're American citizens. We want to be secure. We want to be free. We want to be safe. But we expect those people that are working for us to keep us secure, to keep us safe, to keep us free, to be responsible. Yes, we want security, but we want responsible security. Groping little old ladies and little girls is ridiculous. Groping anybody unless you have legitimate probable cause. I mean, you go through metal detectors, you go through the nakedometers, you don't need to be patted down, strip searched, cavity searched, probed. Maybe they should put a rape tent in the TSA office, for Christ's sakes. Obama administration puts off decision on the Keystone XL pipeline because he wants to win the 2014 election. He's got to win that midterm. Got to win this November. Got to win it. It's a must. That's what all this is about. He doesn't have any plans of opening up that stupid pipeline anyway. What difference does it make to him? See, if he opens up the pipeline, there's going to be people that are going to get jobs, and his whole economy is going to collapse. People are going to start working again, getting better health insurance other than Obamacare. People are going to go out buying a boat, take the family out fishing once in a while. Enjoy the view in the lake, man. Maybe get a bigger boat and go in the ocean. See, he doesn't want that. That'll completely destroy his entire economy. But the U.S. State Department said Friday that it will allow more time for 8 federal agencies to weigh in on the proposed Keystone XL pipeline. Now, that right there, just that one sentence alone, will allow more time for 8 federal agencies You need eight federal agencies to build a pipeline. No, you don't. And how much more time do you need? How many years has this been? How many pipelines have we built before? Human beings have put, you know, the Alaska pipeline. But we have built pipelines. We know how to do it. This will put a lot of people to work. It will lower the price of oil. It will make us energy independent or more to it. But see, we can't have that. That's going to destroy the economy. Everybody poor, now that's a booming economy because everybody's the same. And they only get, everybody gets the same amount of government cookies as everybody else. So it's fair. Agencies need additional time based on uncertainty created by the ongoing litigation in the Nebraska Supreme Court, which could ultimately affect the pipeline route. They need more time. No, you don't need more time. You want to win the election. So whatever, why your base, they've got a certain portion of their base. Well, here's something that's even sicker than this. I mean, these people, they talk about the Koch brothers, you know, making a few advertisements about, you know, the botched Obamacare. Shot of grog here. I still got something in my throat. I don't know. But this is where it gets sick here. They come out, Harry Reid talks about the Koch brothers, and they're horrible. I mean, you know the Koch brothers, they hate. You can't get any bigger haters than the Koch brothers. They made a commercial about Obamacare. They're haters. And they give money because they're rich. They're oil magnets, yeah. These billionaires are threatening to pull money out of the Democratic campaigns if Obama allows the Keystone Pipeline to go through. So Obama says, well, we need to win this election. Okay, I'll just put a stall on it. We're not going to go through. We're not going to do that. We need more time to investigate. We've only had 15 years to take a look at this damn thing. Well, what's going to happen? Ultimately, Canada, which I don't blame them if they do, is going to say, look, you guys either crap or get off the pot here because we're not going to be screwing around with you. You have 1 week and 1 week only to get back to us. Otherwise, you lose it and lose it for good. But these billionaires are want to shut down this pipeline. And if they do, they're going to get $100 million. Now, I know $100 million in a lot of campaigns can get eaten up pretty quick, but that's still a big chunk of change there. There's a billionaire in California. He's a big green guy. So I wonder how many grants he got from the stimulus package. But he wants to give $50 million from his PAC. He's got a PAC. The Koch brothers can't have a PAC, but this billionaire can. He can have a PAC because it benefits the Democrats. So he's going to give $50 million from his PAC and $50 million from his own money. And what I want to know is, where the hell's Harry Reid? I thought that they, you know, PAC money and you know, the Koch brothers giving all their money and buying votes and buying America. Isn't that what he said, Harry Reid? We're buying up America? That's what I heard. So it's okay for Democrats to get $100 million. But if they get that $100 million, they have to keep the economy at a standstill. They can't let it boom. So we got to get rid of that pipeline. We can't have that. That will create jobs. We keep everybody poor, and we'll give you this $100 million plus a whole bunch of other money from other billionaires, and you can win your little elections. So that's what this is all about. Why they simply can't do something is just common sense. That we need oil, and we've got it from Canada, just to have it come right back down to us. Creates a lot of jobs and lowers the price of oil, which does help create more jobs, because if more people are out driving, they're using their cars to get to different work, or they can even use the car, you know, for their work, the truck, this or that. But see, again, that's a common sense part of me that's coming out, and we can't have any of that. You know, I do believe in campaign finance rules, but the rules need to be the right rules. They shouldn't benefit one party or the other. They shouldn't benefit any party. They should restrict and mitigate corruption. That should be the only reason for these rules. But they put the rules in so certain people can, well, go around them. That's what I don't like about a lot of laws, is it's too easy to manipulate and interpret and that. But the Constitution is pretty, you know, it's pretty right there. I mean, shall not be infringed. The governor's Congress shall not abridge the freedom of speech or of the press. It says it right there, shall not be infringed, right there. I read it. There's no interpretation in it, but we have to. Why? Well, because it doesn't benefit the Democrats. Imagine if Democrats actually wrote a constitution, what the hell would it be? First of all, I don't think that they'd ever be able to get it done. I bet if you put 100 libs in a room and said, you guys come up with the perfect constitution, they'd work on that son of a bitch for 1,000 years and never come up with anything. And if they did complete it, it would be a disaster. It would be a mess. It'd be interesting to see what they come up with, though. What else we got here? Governor's told to change passwords. What? Healthcare.gov users told to change passwords due to heartbleed risk. What the hell is this all about? I didn't get a chance to read any of this. What the hell? Users of the Federal Health Care Exchange site have been advised to change their passwords. Uh-oh. After the Obama administration reviewed the government's vulnerability to the heartbleed internet security bug. Wait a minute. I thought this was supposed to cure. Well, it's mostly secure. Senior administration officials told the Associated Press that there was no indication that the healthcare.gov site had been compromised, and the action is being taken out of abundance of caution. Okay, when a government says, well, there's nothing to see here, and we're just doing this just out of precaution, means there's something going on. You don't do certain things out of precaution. Well, we don't want to get the folks all upset. No, you don't want to admit that you've got a problem on your hands because everybody involved in it is incompetent. Nobody wants to admit that they made a mistake. So a 15-year-old girl has to be left in a room to die because nobody wants to admit they made a mistake. But if it's a cow, let's go to war. The government's heartbleed review is ongoing, the officials said. Officials. And users... of other websites may also be told to change their passwords in the coming days, including those with accounts on the popular WhiteHouse.gov petitions page. Uh-oh. So if you put on a petitions page at the White House, they're going to know who you are. They're going to hack you. I don't like putting very much stuff on the stupid internet, on your computer. I don't put hardly anything on mine. I don't want people to know who the hell I am. If you want to know who the hell I am, become my friend. I'll tell you all about me. But to steal my information to find out who I am, that's not finding out who I am. Healthcare.gov uses many layers of protections to secure your information. Well, I don't think it's that layered. I mean, these are just little things that are, you know for a fact there's some big dogs that have been in there from the very beginning, and they're just waiting. They're just waiting for the, you know, for the richies to start coming in. People with lots of money. Now, that healthcare.gov is not secure. Somebody's gonna walk away with a big payday. Put it all in Swiss bank accounts. Move to Europe. I mean, they're going to be living high on the hog. Because nobody wanted to stand up and say, wait a minute, I made a mistake. While there's no indication that any personal information has ever been at risk, oh, there's no indication? Well, how about when the people that were hired to observe the website said that there is no security whatsoever? Isn't that an indication that people's personal information would be at risk? I'm thinking so. The Heartbleed programming. I don't like that name, the Heartbleed. They want people to change their passwords just out of precaution. Just to be cautious. Just to be on the safe side, change your password. But there's nothing to see here. We got no problem. Well, there's no problem. I shouldn't have to change my password. There's no reason to change a password unless there's a problem. But just to be cautious, then there's a problem. The Heartbleed programming flaw has caused major security concerns across the internet and affected a widely used encryption technology that was designed to protect online accounts. I mean, this government, I mean, they can't find anybody to do anything. 3 years to build a website. They had to fire them. They got another incompetent people. The website's not really being, it's not really being fixed that well. Oregon's website, they can't seem to find, they got nobody signing up. You got to do stuff by hand. But see, everything has to go from your state. It still has to go into healthcare.gov. This is a disaster. You see now, Mr. King and Mr. McConnell and Mr. McCain and the rest of you, you see now why it was so important to fight? You see now? All you had to do was stand up and say no, and you didn't. And so here we are, because you were a coward. That's right. You were a coward. It's blatantly obvious that you knew damn good and well that you were going to just hold the government down for a couple of weeks and then surrender. That's a coward. Coming out and telling your base, look at me, I'm standing up for you, and then 2 weeks later you surrender. And the Senate Majority Leader, or Senate Minority Leader, gets himself a multi-billion dollar pork sandwich to build a bridge in his state. So don't tell me that you're not a coward. You knew damn good and well, Republicans, what you were going to do. And you did it. That's why none of you deserve to be coming back. There's a few of you, but most of you, you're out. And this website is not secure. And it's only going to get worse. But see, the media, they won't cover it. Because if they do, they're going to have to admit, well, we went along with this Obamacare, and we said it was good things about it. So now if we come out and say there's bad things, then it's going to look like, you know, we were involved in it. We can't do that. So nothing to see here. Let's move on. Let's talk about the Republicans. Mm. What the hell? A veteran Fox executive is fired over Flight 370 charity email. A veteran Fox executive, what the hell? We only got a couple of minutes here, but I want to cover this. Executive who used her company email account to plan aid for loved ones of the missing Malaysian airline passengers that crashed in the Indian Ocean. Darlene Tipton, who was a vice president of standards and practices for the Fox Cable News Works group, said Saturday she had wanted to arrange swift financial aid to families and other loved ones, sparing them lengthy court fights. Okay. She seems so far like trying to do a nice thing. All right. She said she began by emailing Sarah Bajic, I guess is how you pronounce her name, an American whose boyfriend, Philip Wood, was a passenger on that airline and crashed in the middle of the Indian Ocean. Made frequent TV appearances since the plane's March 8th disappearance. Fox spokesman Scott Grogan and Tipton's conduct and communications violated company policy. I don't know what policy they're talking about. Citing privacy concerns, he declined to discuss particulars, but he said, as soon as we became aware, we took appropriate steps. Tipton was with Fox for a quarter century before her April 9 dismissal. Maybe she's old and ugly, got fat. They don't like her around anymore. I don't know. She says she still has plans to continue her initiative soliciting contributions through the crowdfunding website GoFundMe. They want to raise money for the families. Okay, I don't see there being a problem. What the actual problem is, I'm trying to find here, and I can't find it. I don't know what policy that they have with this, but it seems like a whole lot of know-nothing. And probably they don't like her for whatever reason and are fleshing her out. She's been there 25 years, blah, blah, blah. Does it suck? Yeah. Should it be? No. I don't like, this isn't a Republican or Democrat thing. This is a people thing. People are devious bastards, man. You know, unless she's done something really bad. What was she doing? Trying to get money for these families. Okay. Does a little work? All right, fine. You use your company email? Okay. You know, maybe there's company policies for that and you shouldn't do it. Okay, fine. Slap a wrist and move on. It's like those guys that put the panties on those prisoners in Guantanamo. Look, should they have been doing it? Probably not. Slap their wrist, move on. No reason to ruin these guys' careers. No reason to turn this into something that it's not. When these people dismember us, they burn us, they torture us, they rape us, cattle prod us, tip us upside down, hit us with sticks like frickin' pinatas, drag us around the street on motorcycles and trucks, people spit on them, kicking them, torturing them, and then when they're dead, hang them upside down on a bridge so everybody can see their burnt carcasses, cut their heads off on camera. And we can't put a pair of panties on their head, splash a little water in their face. I mean, you see what I'm saying? I don't see any reason that these guys should have lost their whole careers for putting a pair of panties on these prisoners' faces, over their heads. After what they did to our boys, forget it. Forget it. No. Panties, okay, fine, guys. That's not what you're there for. But we understand and respect your enthusiasm. But from now on, you know, keep your panties to yourself, okay? Now let's go eat. So, any event, that's about it that I've got here today. I want to thank everybody for listening. Who knows what the hell was going on here today? Skype kept cutting me off. It took me forever to sign on. Then I was signed on. Then it took me off, and I guess I'm back on. I don't know. Dogs are barking like crazy. Couldn't hear myself think. I don't know. It's one of those days, but it is a beautiful day. The sun's coming up. Our ship's turning around, pulling into port. We can enjoy some Liberty Call now. So we'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 10. Goodbye, everybody.